From historic Seminary Ridge in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, this is The Seminary Explores. Conversations about people, politics, theology, and life with your host, Dr. Kristen Johnston Largen.
My name is Kristen Johnston Largen, and I'm here with the Seminary Explorers podcast. And we have a very special guest with us today, Bhante Sujata, who is the founder of the Blue Lotus Temple in Woodstock, Illinois. He's a Theravadan Buddhist monk. And we're just thrilled to have you with us, Bhante, and
you,
are eager to share with our listeners who don't often get to hear from a Buddhist monk something about your own life and experience, and then maybe a little something about Buddhism also.
Yeah. Yes, I born and raised in Sri Lanka, you know, the formerly they called the Ceylon, the British ruled.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was born and raised there. So my family also born Buddhist, my mother and father and my sister. And so they are, always they go to the temple. So especially my mother, she's a really good practitioner. And so I'm always going with her to temple every Sunday. And so I like temple so much, you know. Why I like the temple, not about the Buddhist teaching, you know, because of the monks. They are very funny and always they are laughing, you know. Even they don't have a reason to laugh, and you know, just laughing. And so when I was there one day, my teacher who ordained me, he asked me, do you like to become a monk? It is also a joke. And so right away I said, yes, I do. So then I went home and I talked to my mother and said, I promised to become a monk. And so then my mother asked me, do you know what it is? I said, I don't know, but sounds good.
Yeah.
So then my mother and father totally ignored about it. Then they were thinking, you know, I'm making fun with them. So anyway, it was so serious in my mind because I felt I promised to become a monk. Now I want to become a monk. And so now I keep talking about it. So then my parents, they realized, and I'm not joking anymore, it's very serious. Finally, they were upset and angry with me and tried to stop me and control me.
Why did they not want you to become a monk?
Because, you know, I'm the only son. I have an older sister. Because even they are born Buddhist, they don't want to see their child leaving home.
Oh, okay.
And, you know?
Yeah.
And also in the Eastern cultures, the only son is a very important family.
Yeah.
Because he's the one who stays with the parents.
Yeah.
And so anyway, then finally my father was kind of upset with me and they made the plan. And what he did, one morning he took me to the temple and asked me to stay there. Don't come home. We don't want you anymore. That's what he said. And so the plan was maybe same evening I will return home. You know, they were thinking like
sure.
that. And so because my temple and my parents' home is like 15 minutes away from, you know, the walking distance.
Okay, oh, so close.
And so then maybe I just walk in the evening. And so, no, I was so happy there. And then my teacher said, if you want to go home, you can go home in the evening. And so I said, no, I'm here to become a monk. Please monk me. So then I was there 3 months at the temple. Then they realized I'm not, you know, the coming back, you know, returning home.
Yeah.
So finally, even my mother and father, it was so difficult for them. They finally gave it up.
Yeah.
So then I was there 3 months. After 3 months later, my teacher decided to ordain me.
Okay. Right? After 3 months?
After 3 months, you know,
okay.
You know, ordain me. So then I became a monk, you know, I'm young and I just turned into 11. And so after that, I was thinking I'm going to have a lot of fun. It is not at all.
It's a lot of work.
So now training. You
yeah.
know, right after I became a monk, I had to go for the training.
Yeah.
So I did 10 years.
10 years.
Yeah, 10-year training.
Well, you talk, I read on your website, you talk about what the training was. It was really hard. Could you say exactly
right,
what you were?
Is, I call, I used to live in a boot camp 10 years.
Boot camp
like,
monk
right,
training.
Right, exactly, like a mentor training or
yeah.
something like that. And it is so vigorous and difficult and structured. We had to wake up 4 in the morning. It doesn't matter how old I am. I wake up 4
everybody,
in the morning. Everybody,
4 in the morning.
Morning. So then after get up morning, then we have group. And so this group, you know, the certain weeks we had to do certain things, right? Then we are rotating.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to get up and the first group, we had to boil the big pot of water using the wood.
Okay, right? Like, yeah, build like, a fire with
right,
wood.
Right,
yeah.
And maybe we had to make tea for like 150 people.
Okay.
Right, in the morning.
Okay.
And so we make the tea, you know, first bell and ring the bell, then we have to get up, then we have to, you know, boil the water and make the tea, and then again ring the bell, then everybody come and get tea, and after tea again ring the bell, that means we have to go to the meditation room.
Okay.
So then we practice meditation and chanting hour and a half.
Okay.
In the morning. Sleeping, you know, that's tough. You know,
yeah,
we are children, right?
Of course,
and,
right.
But we have to sit straight and we cannot move. And yeah, you know, how we usually sit, all the young, we have to sit in the front.
Oh.
Then all the seniors go to back.
Okay, so you're right in the front.
Front, right?
Yeah.
And then teachers can see what we are doing.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. If we are now moving, things coming. Like that. So we had to be very alert. You know, I know somebody's watching me.
Yeah, yeah.
And so then after that...
And what were you chanting?
About the teachings. Sometimes, you know, the teaching of loving kindness, you know, this is a Pali chant.
Okay.
That's the Buddhist language we use. And so...
And they're from the Buddha's own writings or from the...
You know, the Buddhist teaching.
Yeah.
You know, the Buddha's teaching. So then after chanting, you know, the group of monks, they go to the city or village to collect food.
Mm-hmm.
We have a, you know, bowl and holding it, we go house to house. You know, the a person go to like 15 houses.
Okay.
Then we collect food and other people cleaning and cleaning the bathrooms and all the housework.
Yeah.
Right? And so then we come and, you know, we give our food, you know, the bowl of food to the dining.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they separate all the food, then ring the bell, then we go to the breakfast. We don't know what we receive.
Oh, it's whatever.
Whatever we
get,
you know,
yeah.
It doesn't matter. You know, maybe I don't like to eat it. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I have to, right?
Yeah.
So then we take like an hour for the breakfast. And after that, then we have to clean again, finish all those things. Then we have a little personal time.
Mm.
My personal time, you know, do things and, you know, the homework and if you have, you know, those things and clean the, you know, take the showers and all those things. Then until lunchtime, we have our own time, but still work, right?
Yeah.
And so after lunch, we have 5 hours in school.
Okay.
Right? We have to go to school. No, we are not going outside. Inside the monastery.
Okay. The monks were your teachers?
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. Then we have 5 hours, you know, in school. And, you know, we have to learn, you know, like other things like science, maths, you know, this Buddhism, other religions, and all those things, like exactly like a seminary, right?
Yeah.
So then we have to do that 5 hours. Then evening, then again, we have big cleanup.
Oh, okay.
And because it's big, you know, the yards and, you know, space, we have to clean up. And then in the evening, again, we have 2 hours meditation.
Yeah.
Right after that.
Yeah.
And then in the evening, we don't have any... meals.
Okay.
Only
just the tea in the morning and the lunch.
Breakfast and lunch, the dinner.
Okay.
And so then we can have some maybe soup or tea.
Okay.
So then after that, then we have to do again homework.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of studies.
Yeah.
And so until 9:30 at night.
Yeah.
Then go to bed.
It's a vigorous training.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's difficult. Then in between, like weekends, we have a lot of physical work.
Oh.
And physical work, that means constructions and mix the concrete. And
all around the temple, for the temple.
You know, we do all the work.
Yeah,
labor.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, Bhante, when you were talking about when you were coming to the monk with your family, what did your parents, I mean, what, again, I'm trying to imagine for our listeners, what happens when lay people would go to a monastery? Uh-huh. What would they meditate there? Would they make an
usually,
offering to the monks?
The Buddhist people, when they go to the temple, they go for the different reasons. You know, when you have meditation, they go and do meditation.
Okay.
And then they do go for the blessing. And,
okay.
You know, those kind of things, you know, like baby blessings, sometimes birthday blessings and wedding ceremonies and all those kind of things happening because, you know, totally up to them what they are looking for.
Okay.
And so at the same time, we have to do a lot of social works.
Okay.
And we go to the hospital visitation and, you know, those kind of things too. Go to the schools and talks and, you know, teaching children and all those things happening too. When people come, and usually people, we don't cook at the monastery.
Okay.
Very rarely. And so people bring cooked food every morning and lunch.
Okay.
So, you know, every day, can you believe somebody bring like 200 people, you know, the cooked meal?
Okay.
And so it's a big deal.
And this is like an offering that they're making, right?
It is very ceremonial.
Right.
People bring the food is ceremonial. Sometimes they are doing for, you know, the death anniversary of the mother.
Okay.
And so because they are believing the, you know, the afterlife, right?
Yeah,
so
sure.
So they are transferring the merits for the departed one.
Okay. You know,
then they bring the food, offering to the monks, and then monks doing the chanting and blessing and giving a talk, and you know.
Okay.
And so after that, it's very ceremonial. The lunchtime is very ceremonial, a lot of people.
Okay.
And when we eat and we are like all the way one line around the, you know, the dining room, we are sitting on the floor and using the bowl and eat, right?
Uh-huh.
And so we don't talk to each other.
Okay.
Even we don't looking at each other, like when we are eating, we are looking at the ball and we just eat mindfully. Quietly.
Yeah.
You know, when we are kids, sometimes we'll look at it. That's the trouble.
Yeah.
Then sometimes teacher said, right now you have to get up and go.
Okay.
And so sometimes we get the order.
Yeah.
It's happened to me many times.
Yeah.
I'm picking somebody and, you know, poking somebody like this or something.
Yeah.
You know, when my teacher sees it, that then I'm trouble.
Yeah.
And because I'm like, oh, yeah.
Well, how did you get to the United States? How did that happen?
So then after my graduation, I was 21 or 22, I think, and I moved to Australia first.
Oh, and so why Australia?
Yeah, because my teacher started the temple in Australia.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm the first student of my teacher. And so then he was looking for somebody to send. I got the chance.
Okay.
So then I was there so with Sri Lankan Buddhist people in Brisbane.
Okay.
And so being there 4.5 years, I was visiting one of my other teachers who trained me, used to live in Michigan, United States. I came there. And so then I was there five years.
And when you said Brisbane and Michigan, are there, because there were already Sri Lankan communities that were
Buddhist
there.
Community,
so there was a sense of we need to have a temple for the people who have immigrated.
Right, exactly, then they need a monk. And that's how I came to United States.
Okay.
And so then I was there 5 years in Michigan with Sri Lankan Buddhist people. Then I was, after I became a president and abbot of the temple and in Michigan. So then I worked so hard, bought a land, built the temple. I'm a kind of a hardworking person.
Yeah.
And so after doing all those work, I felt this is not right. I did some work, but I don't like it.
Oh.
And so why I felt that, you know, because I felt I'm stuck in a tradition.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You know, just Sri Lankan culture, just Sri Lankan food, and I was comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, everything is well taken care of.
Right.
I don't want to worry about the car payment or insurance or bills and everything.
All taken care of.
But I felt I'm like, you know, like a dog, you know, well fed and inside. I don't like
you're like my dog.
Right, exactly. You know,
well fed and spoiled.
Right, yeah, exactly. Then I feel, no, this is not what I want. And so if I want to live like this, you know, I don't speak English that time.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Okay.
Because I don't want to speak English.
Yeah, and you're dealing only with Sri Lankan people, right?
Mm-hmm. So then I thought, no, I'm going to change. You know, then I'm a kind of stubborn monk. What I did, I decided I'm moving away. So then I announced to people in the middle of nowhere, I'm moving away. And so then they asked, where do you go? I said, I don't know. Then they were thinking I'm a lunatic.
I think so.
Right. There's no place to go. And then after that, you know, I looking for a places to go. And then somebody gave me some information about a Unitarian Church.
Okay.
And so then I don't know how to write. He drafted me a letter. And then he said, okay, email it to with different churches and asking some help. Then I did. You know, after 6 weeks later, I got 2 emails from one in Georgia, Atlanta, other one where I'm living now, Woodstock, Illinois.
Uh-huh.
So then I came to Woodstock like 5-6 hours drive from Michigan, and I met the minister, and he said, I don't know how to help you, but there is a Zen meditation group at my church.
Okay.
And go and talk to them. Then I said, okay. Then I talked to them. There was a man, you know, like his age. And so he said, okay, I have a room in my house, but I have my wife and my 2 children. And so if you like, you can come and stay with me. And so 3 and 4, the children, right?
Oh, sweet.
And so then I moved to that house. The first week, I don't know what I had to do or say. because I'm never used to live with a family.
Yeah, of course,
I don't
course,
know about even
right?
my parents, right?
Yeah.
And it's very strange feeling for me. And also they are very loud. And, you know, to children.
Yeah, well, of course.
And of course, you know, very loud, television is ongoing, and it's so difficult. And, but I, you know, I handle that, you know, I'm watching and observing, like what he said, being like a silent observer.
Yeah.
And watching and observing, then I get used to it. And so sometimes children are loud, sometimes wife and husband happy, and sometimes unhappy, sometimes
yeah.
arguing.
Yeah.
And in between a Buddhist monk, right?
Yeah.
You know, watching,
right,
observing,
yeah, everything. Very interesting.
And so then
yeah.
Those two children become my English teachers.
Oh, how sweet.
Right. Then I learned English from them. Then I went to school, ESL classes.
Yeah.
And then one day I saw a poster at the school, free Spanish class.
Oh.
Right? Then I thought, you know, at the church, that Unitarian church.
Okay.
Then I thought, I'm going to learn some Spanish too. So then I went to church again to learn Spanish. Then minister also learning Spanish. Then I thought, you know, I was sitting there, I don't know what I had to do, and, you know, new language, no idea for me.
Yeah.
And then we both start to talk again, and then he said, you are a Buddhist monk, long years in the order, why you don't start a meditation group at my church?
Hmm.
So I said, no, I don't want to. Right? And so then he asked why. I said, I cannot speak English very well. People cannot understand me. Then he said, no, they will understand. I said, no. You know, being a Buddhist monk, very difficult to say no. Now I know how to say no. being here.
Yeah, you learn.
Right, I learned how to say no now. So then he was keep pushing me. Then I said, okay, I started my first meditation class 13 years ago.
Yeah, 13 years ago.
13 years ago mm-hmm. at the Unitarian Church basement. Like exactly like this.
Yeah, right.
Little room.
Mm-hmm.
And so first day, I don't know what I had to do or say. I just sitting there. I saw three people sitting in front of me and staring at me. And I was scared to death. And so I don't know what to say. You know, I just smiled. And then they smile at me. I smile again. Back and forth, we smile each other. And so then 15 minutes and they left.
That was it.
That's it. Right, first day. And so I don't know what to say. No words. Because just think about being in a foreign country using a foreign language.
Oh, of course. It's right.
Tough. And then I talked to minister. I said, I'm done. Don't ask me again. I don't want to. Then he said, I totally understand. Let's try one more time. And it doesn't work, doesn't work. So then he said, okay, that's next Saturday. Then I was sitting there. I was praying almost myself, please people don't show up. And my prayer didn't work at all. And so then I saw the same three people sitting in front of me. Then I had a little bit comfortable feeling, oh, maybe they like me.
Yeah.
So now, from that day until now, little by little, I express what I know, what I learn, what I practice, teaching meditation, loving kindness, you know, mindfulness. So people like it.
Yeah.
Now I get so many people. I did two classes now, Monday night and Saturday morning,
mm-hmm.
9 years at the Unitarian Church.
Yeah.
I did that, 9 years.
9 years.
So after 9 years later, what happened? The church announced, we cannot run this building anymore. We are going to sell it.
Okay.
The property. You have to buy it.
Oh.
Then I said, I don't have money.
Yeah.
But everybody said, no, we have to make money. One lady gave $35,000.
Wow.
And one of my students. And so, you know, everybody put the money. We got the church. Right? 110 years old.
Wow.
That building. Beautiful property. And I left everything where it was. Like, you know, one side, you know, Jesus standing.
Yeah.
And so it's a beautiful stained glass.
Another yeah.
side, you know, Buddha, 9 feet tall Buddha standing.
Oh,
and
fabulous.
That is the nature of the Blue Lotus Temple.
Okay.
Now it's 100%, you know, the local American people come to Blue Lotus Temple.
Okay.
You know, very rarely some Sri Lankan people coming.
Yeah.
But it's a local American Buddhist temple.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
we are the only people, you know, the like foreigners.
Yeah.
And people love that, you know, the combination because still church is there, still temple is there.
That's very
so
interesting.
So that's my life story.
So do you, in the Blue Lotus Temple, I mean, it's the inside, we would call it the sanctuary of the church.
Yeah,
you just took out the pews
yeah,
and, or chairs? Or
we took out the pews, you know. Then I did a few changes. One is old, right?
Yeah.
I took all the, you know, the floor out. And fuse out. Then we put the radiant heat bamboo floor.
Oh, right. Nice.
It's expensive, but we did.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
then we have a movable chair. And so then we have cushions. You know, then we
okay.
have like 50 cushions
yep.
to sit. Then we have 50 chairs.
Yep.
So then they have both options.
Of course, for the people who can't sit on the floor.
Yeah, exactly. Then they can try both options. That's why, you know, those are the changes we did.
Yeah.
And also it's a historical building.
Oh, I'm 110 years old,
right,
I said.
Exactly.
Yeah,
historical
it's beautiful.
Building. We cannot do that many changes.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, Bhante, that is just a great story. And I think that we will take a break here. Uh-huh. Again, this is Kristen Largem with Seminary Explorers talking with Bhante Sujata about his work with the Blue Lotus Temple and his life story coming to Gettysburg from Sri Lanka.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we'll take a break and then we'll start with a new episode about Buddhism and why you have found Americans, why they have been interested in Buddhism.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to The Seminary Explores from historic Seminary Ridge in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. A production of the Lutheran Theological Seminary at Gettysburg. We invite you to visit our website at www.ltsg.edu. All opinions expressed on this program are those of the individual speakers and are not necessarily those of Gettysburg Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.